All the glory is due
I know you are the Holy One.
You are the Holy One.
And you know what? You're the only one. You know what? You're the only one.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everyone. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here to worship his holy, 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 holy name. I'm going to ask Brother Gerber. I see him coming forward, Brother Gerber Aguirre, our Spanish minister, to come. And we had a group this summer who took Spanish classes in our summer enrichment program, and we want them to come right in the front. Brother Gerber, you stand right there in the front. And we want this group to come. Brother Gerber is going to give us a prayer, but this group has something that they want to say to us in Spanish this morning. Come on, come all the way in the front, all the way in the front. Let me ask you. What are they going to say?
Bienvenidos a la Iglesia de Cristo.
What is the word in English?
Welcome to the Church of Christ.
Okay. Este grupo de jovencitos de la clase. Ellos quieren decirle a los hermanos de habla hispana, los hermanos hispanos, vamos a decirles, ¿cómo vamos a decirle? Hoy sí.
Amen, amen, amen. And what they said in English is welcome to the Church of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Sí.
Brother Gerby, would you pray
ellos,
for us?
Ellos dijeron bienvenidos a la iglesia de Cristo.
Amen. Amen.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to the Church of Christ here.
Yeah, all right, all right. Thank you, Gerber.
Great.
Yes.
Vamos
please,
a orar.
Please.
Santo Padre, Señor nuestro, Padre eterno, gracias, Señor, gracias por estos
Thank you.
Momentos
Thank you, Lord.
Bonitos que tenemos cada uno de nosotros de estar juntos. Gracias, Señor, por estos niños que están al frente. Gracias por todos los jóvenes que tenemos aquí en la Iglesia de Cristo de Fidworth.
Yes.
Gracias, Señor, por todas las personas que formamos parte de este grupo,
Thank you, Lord.
De esta familia que es en Cristo Jesús. Señor, te amamos, por eso estamos aquí, porque queremos hacer tu voluntad. Señor, gracias por todas las personas que sentimos esa necesidad de adorarte en espíritu y en verdad. Señor, gracias por los ancianos.
Yes.
Gracias por el hermano Gary. Gracias por los diáconos. Gracias por los maestros. Gracias por cada uno
Thank you, Father.
De las personas que estamos aquí en esta mañana. Gracias por los visitantes que tenemos. Señor, te amamos, queremos hacer tu voluntad. Ayúdanos, Padre, en las cosas que necesitamos en nuestra casa, nuestros trabajos, nuestra familia. Ayúdanos, Señor, nosotros dependemos de ti. Si hay enfermos entre nosotros, ayúdanos, Padre, consuélanos, como ese consuelo que solamente tú puedes dar. Ese consuelo que tanto necesitamos cada uno de nosotros. Señor, bendiga a nuestros hijos, donde quiera que se encuentren. Bendiga a nuestros padres, nuestra familia en general. Y Señor, gracias una vez más por todo. En Cristo Jesús, oramos y te agradecemos. Amén.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Gerby. Thank you, students, for doing an excellent job. We want to welcome each of you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ and welcome to our worship service, especially those of you that are visiting this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. This is the fifth Sunday. Months that have five Sundays, we unite together in one service. Normally we have an 8 o'clock service, an 11:15 service, and a Spanish service across the street. Well, today we're all together. And we thank God for that. We also are having Children's Bible Hour, which is across the street. Those of you that have children ages, I believe, 5 to 12, you take them across the street, and they're having a worship service on their own. which also allows us to have a little more space in here. This is one time that even if you have your phones today, if you're in here right now, this is just for a moment. We also are live streaming our worship service. We do it now each Sunday morning. We're live streaming on our website. If you have a family member that's at home, somebody in the hospital, and they have access to the internet, they can go to our website, which is fwcoc.org, www.fwcoc.org, and you click the live stream button, and they can actually see and experience our worship service live as it's happening right now. So some of you don't get on there texting your girlfriends and boyfriends, but if you like to text someone you know that's at home, you're more than welcome to do that. Just a great day in the Lord today. Just look around for a minute and see some of the folk at the 11:15 service you haven't seen, the 8 o'clock service you haven't seen, and some of you haven't seen them since last time we were together. And it's just good to see everybody every now and then. And you know, if you come back on Sunday evenings, you can see everybody. Amen, somebody. So we do still have Sunday evening service, and so it's just a great feeling. Our theme that we've selected for this year is making disciples, making a difference. Making disciples, making a difference. If you were able to be here yesterday, what a beautiful sight to see. As I hope God is pleased with what we are doing here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. And of course, we're not worthy. Terry, thank you so much for that prayer this morning. Because we really are not worthy if we just examine our lives. We make so many mistakes. Don't we serve a good God? Amen. God is so wonderful and so good. And we're trying our best. I believe that your efforts, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, your efforts and the things that you do behind the scenes, God sees every last one of them. And on yesterday, in my personal point of view, I think that we were in the mode of the Great Commission, in the mode of God's commandment, in the mode, as Jesus said, go ye therefore, notice, and make disciples. And he commanded his apostles, and they passed it on to us, and not just to be disciples, but to make a difference in this world. It was the way Jesus ministered. It was the way he reached people. When he came on the scene, he helped people. He performed miracles. He fed people. He met people's needs. And we were in that mode yesterday, early in the morning. I want to, some of you that were not able to be here, I want to show you a few pictures. And I want to get into my lesson, but I want to show you a few pictures of some of the things, just a few of some of the things that actually happened on yesterday. It was our Making a Difference Day in the community, and a lot of work went into it. And so, will it show, Junior? Thank you.
All right, your brothers are getting ready for our Making a Difference in the Community Day. Work always comes first, preparation, nothing happens by itself. Brother, when the clothes ready, the tents are ready.
Of course, that was my
morning
video
of our Making a Difference Day.
That was the day before. Wow, this is at 7:30 this morning. Yesterday morning, 7:30. This is how many people were lined up.
All right,
they were not to come in till 9 o'clock. This is the back as we put people in the back of the building back here. So this was early, early yesterday morning. Go to the next slide. That's after they got in here. That's this row, this row, this row. And in its capacity, we even fill up this row, this row. That's how many people were in here. And the beautiful thing about it is the individuals, hold on before you go to the slide, is while they were here, we had workers in here. And while they were here, before 9 o'clock, we got a chance to preach the gospel to that whole group. They heard a gospel message to that whole. That was at least 600 to maybe 700 individuals. I don't know, and your brothers have been here a while. I don't know of another effort that we've done in the history of the church that we had that many non-member visitors who are not members of the Church of Christ to be here at one time. And so the monies that you spend, that we spend to try to reach out to this community, I tell you what, that is a wonderful investment that we make in this community to glorify our great God. And so we actually, they were a captive audience. Captive audience. That was, and some of you that were across the street, you didn't know this that was going on even in here in this building. That's how many people were in here at one time. Okay, go to the next slide. Then you go across the street, and boy, our super soldier workers, have mercy, they were hard at work putting bags together, ladies getting ready to serve. That on the right is what was actually in the bags. There were fruit, cantaloupe, honeydew melons, and there's some lotion and other items in there. We had an invitation today to worship service. Our ministry schedule was in there. Next slide. And there's our workers. You see young workers, our youth were at work. Youth were at work. Next slide. Youth were at work. Our Spanish ministry, our Spanish members were at work. We had brothers at table. We got certified. Some of us got certified to do CPR. Bro, I got certified yesterday to do CPR for 2 years, but don't fall out on me. I'm not ready to use it today. I could use it if I had to, but not only me. There were at least 17 in the first group and 10 or 12 in the next group, and to God be the glory. Our sister Latrice served us yesterday. These are workers receiving and meeting people, individuals, and blessing folks. Next slide. Next slide. This is a tent. This is a tent with our customized tent that Sister Niece was passing out all the uniform vouchers to. Next. That brother is ready, isn't he? This is one of our visitors who we had two tents. You see the two tents still in the back? One with clothing. Whose clothing? Yours. Stuff you brought. You brought nice clothing. That's a nice shirt there. Nice clothes. Shoes. Oh, mercy. Thank you. Listen, I know we had a goal of giving out 1,000 pairs of shoes. I believe we did that yesterday. And clothing for days, and this brother was thankful. Looked like he going to church. He might be in here right. You in here right now? Yeah. Next slide. We gave free smoke detectors. Brother Rick Flanagan in the fire department. They demonstrated. They gave smoke detectors out yesterday. Are we blessed here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ? Next slide. Brother Edward Mitchell, our barber. Boy, did he cut some heads yesterday? All kind of heads. I couldn't get all the pictures on there. Brother Mitchell, member here, faithful member here, and he did all this for free. Just donated his services, and I mean, it was a room full, and he probably might be too tired to be here this morning because he did some work yesterday. The elders were counseling individuals. Brother Ben here is counseling. Others were counseling. Brother Washington was counseling. They were doing blood pressure, and the nurses were in one room. Next slide.
Amen.
That was too early. That's all the slides I had.
Amen.
This was one of the baptisms that we had on yesterday. We had two baptisms yesterday.
Amen.
Two baptisms. Amen. I don't know if the sister's here this morning. She's here. Oh, stand up for just a second. Everybody stand up for just a second so our sister can see you. The church can see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's our sister in Christ. Praise the Lord. We had another baptism. His name, last name I know was Smith. And I don't know if he's here this morning. He and his son were here. I don't know if he's here this morning, but he got baptized. We didn't get a picture of him, and so we couldn't show the picture up there. But isn't God good? We serve a great God, and that's our sister in Christ there also. And we want to thank every member, even those of you that were not able to be here on yesterday. But it was a beautiful sight to see, and I'm so happy that God can use us. It feels good when you know you're doing the Lord's work. And some of you may not have been able to be here, but many of you brought things by the church. You bought shoes, you bought clothing. We were able to divide and conquer. You know, Sister Faye Mathis buried her dad yesterday, and many of our group went to be there and support her. Many of you did that, and others who are sick in the hospital. And so this is a time that we can give praise and glory to our great God in heaven. I want to encourage us this morning. I've entitled the lesson, Encouragement for the Disciples. Encouragement before the disciples. Also pray for our group that's in Belize, who have been there for about a week now. I believe that they're supposed to be coming back tomorrow. And Brother Wilkerson is there heading that group up. And let's be in prayer with them that they have a safe return back home. The Bible reads in, for everybody all right? The Bible reads in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse number 16. 1 Timothy 4, 16. As Paul, he writes to a fairly young preacher, Timothy. He also writes to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lesson definitely in here for us. Take heed to thyself. That was in particular to Timothy, but it applies to us also. He said, take heed or be cautious or be careful, Timothy, is what he's saying. And unto the doctrine. And so he's speaking to his personal living, his life, and to his doctrine is taught belief. And to what you're teaching people. And there's a good reason for that, because there's no need in you teaching something you're not going to live yourself. Amen. And that's the danger in becoming a teacher. And trying to teach the word of God, you need to be really careful, because you become a hypocrite when you don't live what you teach. But, you know, not just for teachers. You become a hypocrite when you say you're a Christian and don't act like it. Amen? Amen. Then he says, continue in them. Everybody say continue. Amen. See, now you can't continue nothing you haven't already started. And the word continue means to remain. Now, he tells Timothy, who's a dedicated preacher, teacher, he says, Timothy, continue in what you're doing. He says, in them, both in living and teaching, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And that's so much in that, because, you know, some you just like seem like some days you just feel strong in the Lord. You like today, like yesterday. You feel just vibrant because you're in the will of God. But Lord, it's just other times the devil just get on your trail, and he can discourage us at any moment. Then the brother read in your hearing a few moments ago, Brother Norval read in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse, he read 22. I'm going to read 23. See, 22, he says, you've been redeemed. We've already been redeemed. And God is going to present us holy. He wants to present. We will be presented holy to God. But then in verse 23, he says, if ye continue or remain in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Lord have mercy. See, we are saved by grace through faith, as our dear sister was baptized in the Lord on yesterday, and all of her sins have been washed away. Amen. Well, that's got to be a good feeling. Amen. Not that all your bills been paid while you're on earth. That'd have been a showed up deal, wouldn't it? Because we're still in this broken world we live in. And it is broken. And we don't want to present any illusions to anybody. It's not easy living in this world. It's not. It's really just not. But it's not. But you know what? It's easier when you got God on your side. I don't want to live a criminal life. I've decided that. That's just too hard. It's too hard waking up not knowing if somebody going to come after you for something. Waking up making enemies everywhere you go. Isn't it better for us to live lives that we help people, that we love people, that we talk to people, that we treat people right? That's the best life. Amen. But we got to continue doing that. Amen. And we have to continue on this mission that God has given all of us. He says, remain grounded. Stop following any kind of teaching, any kind of doctrine. Do what we know is right. Make up our mind and keep on doing it. Amen, somebody. It's beautiful to see all of the members in here worshiping together, serving the Lord. And this is encouragement, because I know sometimes you're tempted when you're not feeling good. When you're not feeling good, you just say, well, you know what? I'm going to miss service today. I just don't feel good, and I had a bad week, and I just don't feel like good. That's why we have these verses in the Bible. Say, look, be grounded. See, because you know what? You don't do that at work. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you have pains and you get up and you take a pill or you wash your face and put some clothes on and you say, oh, well, I don't feel good, but I gotta go to this job. And you get up and go to that job you don't even like. Do something you don't like. And we would miss, but wouldn't it be something, would you want to miss this today? Now, we come here, and nobody beating us up. Folks, how you doing? Shaking your hands. Folks, good to see you. And we're praising God. Didn't you get something out of that beautiful prayer where the Terry prayed for all of us this morning? You going to miss all of that? So we gotta stay grounded and settled and quit getting restless and being wishy-washy. I come this Sunday. I'm not coming next Sunday. He says, grounded and settled and be not moved away, notice, from the hope of the gospel. And I know, especially, you know, when you're young, we have a harder time grasping these teachings that God. See, we thinking about now and what I can do now and what's making me feel good right now, and we don't really. Let me see. I remember when I used to sit in the pews and say, when you're young, you just think about, well, no, I got a game tomorrow. I want to talk to my. You're not thinking about later. But you know, after you get old, I realize, well, you know, time go by so fast. and you concentrating on a boy, and 10 years from now, you won't even know that boy. And he won't know you. Things that you worrying about right now won't even count. And he says, listen, you need to hold on to the hope of the gospel, which is coming to you. He says this, notice this, he says, which is coming to you as it is to all the world, and bring it forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. He says, now this gospel is good news. That's what we shared yesterday. That God, Son of God, some good news for the whole world. And we shared the good news of the gospel to this whole group in here yesterday, as we try to do all the time, presenting the gospel. And it's that Jesus came, he lived, he died for all of our sins, giving us the opportunity to be with God in peace forever and ever. That's the hope of the gospel. And it was shared with us. But understand this, that listen, it bringeth forth fruit as it does also. It makes us a better people. It makes us better family men, husbands. It makes us better wives. It makes us live better lives. That's the fruit that comes from the gospel. It helps you to change your mindset about how you treat people, how you talk to folk, how you act in your family. That's what the gospel does. So it changes our lives while we are on earth, and it sure enough changes our destiny of eternity. He talks about the hope of the gospel. Let me get a little bit more specific as we encourage one another. Because the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. This is that hope of the gospel. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. See, the hope is in heaven. He says, the word is the truth of the gospel. In other words, there are words you can hear that's not the truth. And this hope is for all the saints, all of the believers. It says in verse number 6, which is to come unto you as into all the world, and bring it forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of the truth. And because we hold fast to it, because the sad part is that faithful brothers and sisters can fall away from this gospel. Yeah. Yeah, faithful brothers and sisters. What do you mean, Brother Gary? Because I've heard that, you know, once you save, you always save. No, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. That's not the truth what the Bible teaches. Listen to Colossians chapter 1. Now, we read Colossians 1, 23. We read Colossians 1, 5. And notice who this is written to, Colossians 1, verse 2. We just read Colossians 1, 5. Colossians 1, 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. See, he initially writes to the faithful brethren in Christ, who are Colossae. Then you drop down to verse number 5. He says, for the hope is laid up for you in heaven, which ye heard before in the world of the truth of the gospel, which is to come unto you as in all the world and bring it forth truth. But it says this to all of us. He says, it bringeth forth the truth of the gospel, and we have this hope if only we stay in the faith. That's why he tells us to hold on and to be settled and to be ground and don't let go of the truth. Because we only get it if we stay settled in God. Lord have mercy. Yes, and see, he goes on to say, he says, to be grounded in the faith. He says, the faith. And do you know what the faith is? It says the scripture would teach us that there is only one faith, one way that we can get from earth to glory. And that is for us all in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3. Listen to Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave you all diligence, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort or encourage you that you should earnestly contend. And the word contend means to struggle. It really does. It means to struggle for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The apostles delivered a faith system. Jesus gave it to them. They gave it to us. He says, I want you to contend for the faith. I want you to struggle. And that is the struggle that we have while we're on earth. Because, you know, we hear all kinds of things. And sometimes they come from people that supposedly mean us well, and people sway us. But he says, contend for the faith. And I'm trying my best in my teaching to simplify, to help people understand what the faith is. See, the faith is a teaching that God has given us. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice, there is only one way from earth to glory. What do you mean? One teaching that God has given us to teach all mankind. And in Paul's day, the Bible says it was taught to the whole world. That's what the scripture says. And that's our charge, is we're here to teach it to everybody who will hear the word of God. And it stays the same. It does not change. It's not different for you, and it's not different for the next person. It's the same for all mankind. And to be even more specific, because even on yesterday, I had a few people ask me some questions after we gave the message, not in here, but pull up to the side of me and said that, you know, Brother Gary, I'm already saved. And one of the gentlemen knew me. He said, I'm already saved. And I said, well, it was kind of crowded. And I said, well, how were you saved? And he summarized to me in about 30 seconds how he was saved. And I said, well, do you have time for me to go over in the scriptures how individuals are saved in the Bible? He said, well, not right now. I said, well, we need to get together. Why are you saying that, Brother Gary? Because what he told me was not what I read in the Bible. Now, some of us, we get emotional when we get too emotional when it comes to God. Because God says faith comes by hearing. In other words, I just feel like I did the right thing. It's not about what you feel, it's about what you obey. Amen. And so I'll give you an example. There are several examples in the book of Acts. Our preacher's class, we're going to do a little bit later on this year, talking about conversion. There are several examples, and I want to encourage us, but also want, see, he told Timothy, be cautious, Timothy. Be cautious in your living, and you be cautious in your doctrine. What you teaching people. Why? Because in it, you're going to first of all save yourself. And what you are teaching will save other people. Now, if we're not teaching the truth, we're not saving Nobody. And so let me get a little technical with you before I sit down, after I encourage you. Hopefully we encourage you this morning. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, he came across some brothers. Notice they were quote unquote disciples. In verse number 2, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" Notice, it wasn't that they didn't believe. I hear people say this to me sometimes. "Well, Brother Gary, I believe in God just like you believe in God. I believe in Jesus just like you believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus came, he lived, and he died for my sin just like you believe." And notice this. These brothers, they believe. They had a measure of faith already. Would you stay with me just for a moment? They said unto him, "We've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." Amen, somebody. This is when your intellect, God says, the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So your heart is your emotional. God don't want us to just half love him. Amen. Just like us. But he says, "I want you to love me with all your inner parts, your soul. But I want you to also love me with your mind." Now, what are your intellect? In other words, I don't want you to love me because somebody else loves me. Because your mama loved me. If your mother didn't tell you, didn't love me, you wouldn't love me. I want you to make up your personal mind by hearing my word, understanding my word, and obeying my word. Yeah, he wants us to use our own brains, amen? Man, don't cut me off yet now. Now, he says, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said to them, "Unto then, what were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." This is what I wanted to, and I think I'm going to get the opportunity, if the Lord says the same, if we're living long enough to do it. I think we're going to be able to talk about this young man. I think we're going to be able to talk. I hope we will. But maybe we're talking to you right now, just straight from the word of God. See, individuals come out all the time. So I've been baptized already. Well, can I ask you a question? Unto whose baptism? That's an intellectual question. I mean, what did you see? There is no way a person can be baptized according to the scriptures and don't know. See, you can't be baptized correctly and taught wrongly. Amen. Would you agree? That's it. I mean, because see, when you talk incorrectly, then you are obeying what you were taught. And so he says, we baptized in John. Well, what was John's baptism? This was John the Baptist who preached with the forerunner of Jesus. And his message was, "Repent, for the kingdom is near. The kingdom is at hand." That was the main message. And people were baptized under John's baptism, anticipating that the kingdom was near. That was his message. But now Jesus has come. He's died for all of our sins. He's risen from the grave, from the dead. And now the kingdom is here. It's not near, it's here. And when on the day of Pentecost, when God, through the holy inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave the apostle Peter the message to preach, he preached to them on the first day the church doors were open, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." John the Baptist said nothing about the Holy Ghost because he wasn't to teach that. It wasn't under him. So these men were not taught that. They did not hear that. Some of you sitting here right now may be saying, "But Gary, I've never heard that before." That's my job as a preacher, is to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Anybody that will listen, so you will know what God wants us to do in order to be saved. So that would have been my message to this brother is, look, listen, if what you're saying is the way you were saved, that's not according to the scriptures. Now, let me ask you another question. I'm almost through. Let me ask you another question. Now, if this were you, and you were in their shoes, and you thought that you were already saved, but now you've heard, notice this, because, see, you've heard the truth of the gospel. See, notice, see, there is the truth of the gospel, then there is what's not true. Some people call it a gospel, but it's not the truth of the gospel. Now you've heard the truth, and you know it's the truth because it's coming right out of God's word. Can I ask you a question? What would you have done after you heard the truth? And that's just a mental question for your thought processes, because I want to read to you what they did. This is what the Bible says that they did. Then said Peter, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. In verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when they heard the truth, it wasn't an indictment against them. Somebody, I thought I knew. See, ignorance is, we all ignorant of something. I mean, everybody ignorant of something, but it's sad when you hear the truth and you still remain ignorant. You go take your car to the dealership to get the oil changed. You know, Jiffy Lube and Mr. Car Wash, they tell you to change your oil every 3,000 miles, although sometimes to me that's a little too soon. But they tell you to change your oil every 3,000 miles on your manual. It tells you when to change the oil. So if your motor go out because you haven't changed your oil in 15,000 miles, who can you blame? Amen. Now, it'd be one thing for you not to know, but now you know they were baptized. And I see, this is the beautiful thing about when you know you have owed. There is no cloud, no doubt. These men were baptized who already believed, and I just hope that we would never ever sway from what we know is the truth of the gospel. Yeah, and they were baptized. I had a couple of more examples, but my time is almost up. But listen, the scripture says in Matthew 15, verse 9, but in vain they do worship me. Oh, that's why he told Timothy, be careful. As you be careful, and you remind, be careful how you live. Be careful in what you teach people. He says, you mean to tell me that, he says, Jesus said this. He says, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the precepts or the commandments of men. In other words, that you mean to tell me that folk who are quote unquote worshiping right now on Sunday right now, who may be doing it wrong? But Gary, they got in their cars, they dressed up, they got their Bibles with them, they went to a building, they praising God. But if they're not doing it according to the truth of the gospel. The word vain means it does not count. It means they're doing it for naught. Yeah, so you should know the truth, and it's the truth that's going to. I had some more examples. I just don't have time to go over them all. Listen, John chapter 8, verse 31. I'm getting like them old preachers now. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. See, I think making disciples, making a difference. See, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. See, I mean, it's hard. You know one thing is hard, and it's hard parenting, isn't it? It's hard being consistent as a parent. Because these kids just wear you. You know, sometimes you just... It's hard. I'm so glad that my children, I'm so glad that they grown. When I say that, but you know what? I learned. I don't see some of you older, seasoned parents. You should have warned me. I didn't realize your children stay your children till you're dead. See, you know what? You know what? As a parent, you better be consistent with them. If you want to, the Bible says, train up a child in the way she go. That training is a daily, isn't it? It's a daily charge, because if you get inconsistent and you let one get away with something, and you cause all kind of problems. I understand when he says, if you continue, and see, that's why we need to be consistent. God loves us. He already showed us that he loves us. You know, does somebody have to wake you up every Sunday morning? Somebody have to remind you to pray. You eating food. You at the dinner table. And somebody, I forgot to pray. You see, let me. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity. And I can't go into detail. On them which fail away, severity. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Just encouragement for the disciples. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in well doing. Scripture say in due season. Yes, yes. Yeah. Don't you love being a Christian? Yes. Yeah. We have our struggles. We have our struggles. I don't know where you are in your life and what's going on, but life can just wear us out. Some days, you get one thing together and then your health go bad. Lord have mercy. Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you, you pay this bill off, and here come another bill. And then your roof got to be fixed. And air conditioning. Anybody air conditioning go out this summer? Oh, mercy me. Just everyday issues. But notice this now. Don't isolate. Don't think that in here right now. See, this life, all of us got stuff going on. Everybody. But see, that's why there is this reminder all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, all throughout, for us to continue, remain, endure to the end. Because we have a hope that's laid up in heaven. And notice, and not just in heaven, because, realize that the Christian Christ-like life is the best life you can live. It'll keep you out of jail. It'll keep your wife at home, your husband. Now, I know the devil get in us and we do things and we say things, but one sister I was talking to when she was telling me about some issues that was going on in her life. And I just wanted to drop to my knees and just Lord have mercy. But one thing we all need to do is keep God on our side. Amen. See, you can't control. See, sometimes your hard-headed husband, your non-submitting wife. Since I had to do that, I got to balance it. Got to keep it balanced now. The brothers be after me. Your crazy children. Brooke, you shouldn't use the word crazy. Well, give me a better one than you. Sometimes you can raise your children, you're trying to do all this, and they just act like they don't have no sense. Don't you let your children keep you out of heaven. your husband, your wife, your boss, your job. We got to continue. There's no turning back for you. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come to the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the invitation. This is what gets us into Jesus Christ. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The pure, unadulterated word of God is what saves our soul. If you're here today and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he came, he lived, he died, and he is coming again one day. If you're willing to repent of your sins, change your mind about sin, it doesn't mean that you'll live a perfect life necessarily, but your mind is changed. I don't want to sin. I tell you nay, but unless you repent, unless you change your mind about sin, you shall also likewise perish. That's what the scripture teaches. And so we're not just teaching that you just believe in the Lord Jesus, come to Jesus, and keep hustling and lying and cheating and doing whatever you're doing. There's a changed life. Your mind is changed about it. You must confess with your mouth what your heart believes. Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. And be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. That's when God erases all of your past sins away. Amen. And if you live faithful to death, you live faithful to death, we all get a crown of life. God writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We become a, notice this, we become a member of his body, amen, which is the church. So you don't disconnect from the church because Jesus died for the church. And notice, he only died for one church. God wants everybody in the whole world to be in his one family. Notice, under his one teaching. There is only one way a person can get into Jesus Christ, as we shared with you this morning. Amen. So I don't teach a person, let me pray for you. And you ask the Lord, you let me pray this sinner's prayer. Lord, forgive him of all of his sins. Receive him into your kingdom. And you now, amen, you a child of God. That's not in your Bible anyway. Amen. And if you did it that way, you are not saved according to the scriptures. That's the truth of the gospel. Amen. And I would not be a preacher of the gospel if I taught you otherwise. Amen. Well, Brother Gary, what about people who are in the hospital and people who can't get baptized and people who can't get to the water? Let me ask you a question. What about you? First of all, let's take care of you first. If you're in here right now, I know we can get you to some water. And you know what? After we take care of you, then you go to the hospital and get the person that you're talking about. And call us. We'll go to him. Amen, amen, somebody. Amen. I mean, you know, there are all kind of hypothetical situations. Let's just obey what God told us to do. Amen, somebody. Is there one who wants to be baptized this morning? This day, because it's the only day you got right now. It's a beautiful day. You hear, you want to be a disciple, you can be one today by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here, you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. God is good. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washing the blood of the Lamb? No, are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washing the blood?
Somebody come to Jesus today.
For you are in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb are your garment, it's all the white
as snow.
Are you washed in the blood
of the Lamb? Nor are you walking daily by the Savior's.
Are you washed in the blood
of the Lamb? And do you rest each moment
in the crucifixion? Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb?
Yes, are you washed?